This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
So this morning we want to talk to you. We're continuing in our series, our David series, where we'll be going to continue to track through this throughout the summer months and just talking so much to learn about through the life of David. If you need to take an opportunity to go through, and if you haven't before, and just read through Samuel and learn about David and who this amazing guy was. And we've been looking through a lot of his failures. He had failures, and we're going to see that. We're going to see his faith. He has a ton of faith, and that's going to encourage us. And yet then at the end of it all, we see this fulfillment that's brought into his life. And it's the same fulfillment that God wants to give you today. And I think I needed to remind us, maybe I've said this before, but can I encourage you, David, yes, is an Old Testament character, but can I also remind you he's not a fictional character? Like he is a real historical boy that was anointed by God as a young age to be king over all of Israel. He's throughout this history to be in the line of Jesus. And it's a great way for you and I to model our lives after. And yet he went through 15 years of turmoil, of hardship, of struggle. And yet the cool thing about his story is in the midst of that, he overcame it all. He overcame Goliath. He overcame a family who didn't really think he was all that important. He overcame a Saul who was the king who wanted to kill him and chased him for years, as well as all these other issues that he faced. And yet today we pick up again where David is now, he's king over Israel. He's in the palace. He's there. He's been placed in that place after years of running. And we realize that he's now living in this promise of what God had given him many, many years ago. There are many of you that sit here in this room, and if you really thought about it, you're still believing God for a promise in your life. Something that maybe you feel like God has deposited in your heart and your life, and yet you haven't seen it come to pass. Some of you are in the room and you've been believing for someone else. You've been someone else in your life that, man, I just want to see them turn. I want to see them change. And yet it hasn't come to pass. And I want to encourage you this morning as we kick off this talk through the life of David that God is faithful. He is so faithful to his word. And I want to encourage you, if God has spoken it over your life, it may take longer than you want it to take, but can I also say it's going to be better than you ever can imagine when he fulfills it? That is so true about him. And David is ruling over Israel. And we're going to now see in chapter 8, we're going to jump there in a moment, where how God has given him this dream. He's given this a vision to expand the territory, to expand the kingdom beyond what it was given to him at the very start. And I want to encourage you, this is a message that's hopefully going to challenge you that there is really, really more that God has for your life. So much more. Maybe you're in a marriage right now and you're like, this is it. Can I just tell you, God's given you that marriage and there's more to that marriage. And some of you, like, you have kids. Can I encourage you, there is more to those kids. Some of you are like, well, I'm just debt-free living life. Everything's perfect. I can't wait to open my cabin in a few weeks, right? Listen, like, you have a good life, but there's more that God has for you. I hear it probably sometimes daily, if not weekly, where people are saying to me, Pastor, I have a good life. Things are going good for me, and yet something is still missing. And I just want to look at them. You know what's still missing? God has more for your life. There's more for all of us, more that God has for you. And so we're going to be looking through the life of David, how God took what he had given David, and through David's willingness not to settle, for David's willingness to just be, hey, this is good. God gave him more, and he expanded his influence. So I want to challenge you with this morning when it comes to God. It's simply the title of our message. I want to challenge you when it comes to God. It's worth fighting for. What a great Memorial Day sermon, right? It's worth for fighting for. There are some things in your life that many times we put them on the back burner. We just kind of like, well, I'll eventually get to that. I'll eventually make that a priority in my life. Eventually, it'll become a priority. And my prayer for you today is to get that drive again, to fight for all that God has for your life. I believe there's two kinds of different kinds of people, two groups of people in the room today. There are people who are naturally fighters. They're just looking for a fight. You know what I'm saying? Like some of you in the room, somebody just looks at you wrong right now. You're ready to jump up, right? Like there's those people where you just want the best for yourself and you will bulldoze whoever you have to get there to where you want. And there are other people where you're just naturally a peacemaker, right? You just like, I just don't look at me because, oh, I'm just a peacemaker. I just want to make everybody happy. Like you're the person who never honks at the person at the red light, right? You'll just sit there for 3 minutes. Let me help you this morning to find which category you're in. I just give you one question. If you're at a restaurant and they bring you the wrong order, do you send it back? Who are you in the room? Come on, anybody like that? Like, I send it back, man, right? Okay, you're our natural fighters. You don't like anybody. All right, now, no, just kidding. Just joking. There's others of us, right? When we get the bad order, we will never complain. You will eat it, hate it, pay too much for it, right? Come on, who's that right there? Anybody in the room like that? You're just very passive? Come on, there we go. Right? We just those people. And some people just don't think it's worth fighting for. Like I've always thought the armrest. You know what the armrest, like on the airplane? Like who has priority over the armrest? Right? Like I've been on a flight, literally I was on a flight one time where I had the middle seat and the dude came and said to me and he pushed my arm off the armrest. I'm like, and I thought about that. So I recently asked ChatGPT, if you know what that is, that's the new AI thing. You can ask all these questions and it'll give you an answer. And I asked, you know, do you know? And I thought, who is there a protocol? Like who I always thought whoever gets there first, gets the armrest first, right? Well, did you know, by the way, there's an actual rule. The middle seat gets the armrest first, all right? So they told me that. How about this one? Remember the front seat of the car? Like, I call front seat, right? Like, what was so important about the front seat? What was worth the war of the front seat? Do you know there are siblings who still don't talk to each other today over the front seat? Right? I don't know about you, but how many of you like to find bargains? Like, there are any bargain shoppers in the house today? Like, that's your thing. Like, me personally, I can't do it. I can't ask for it. So I always overpay for it. My wife, Kim, man, she can be in Walmart negotiating the prices, right? Like, well, hey, man, I don't know. There's a chip in that. Can you come down $5, right? Or that box, like, has been open a little bit. You can come down a little bit on that, right? Some of us are like, we will leave a deal over $1. Like, I'll just walk away from the whole, because it's principle for us. It's all about what you fight for. And some of us just have these things in our lives that you would need to understand this morning. They're worth fighting for. And there are other things that are not worth fighting for. We got to figure it out today. What's worth fighting for? And what we're going to see in our story is David is now given the kingdom after decades of trusting God and believing in God and yet not seeing it. And we see the kingdom that he gets, and we see it at the very beginning. It looks like this. I have a couple pictures this morning. This was his kingdom. This was the very first kingdom that he's given. This little yellow area, that is Jerusalem. That is the kingdom that David inherits right at the very beginning. That orange part is basically the kingdom David is inherited when he took over from Saul. And that was the kingdom. That's what it looked like. And you could say, and probably David too, could say, well, okay, great. I got it. You know, I'm now the king, right? This is what God promised me. This is everything I got, so I'm happy with it. But David has this understanding of God. And his understanding is this. There's always more that God wants to add to my life. There's always more that God wants to add to your life. And so here's what happens. And I want to show you this progression because if you read through the Bible, which we do here at CLC, if you read through the Bible, you'll see things that don't make sense. But if you hang in there and you really lean into it, it will make sense. Amen. So look at how it starts. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. And it says this, in the course of time. Now let's just pause for a moment because I want you to get this. Time is funny with God. God has a funny way with time. And sometimes it takes longer than you wish it would. And you end up getting frustrated. Well, I've got dreams. Why are they taking so long? Why have I been waiting? Why have this thing just keep longing and just keep going and going? God has a funny way with time. And notice what it started out there. In the course of time. Not David's time. Not your time. In God's time. So in God's time, sometimes what God wants to do is so big, it takes time. It takes time to prepare us for it. So look what it goes on to say. So in the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. So we saw the first kingdom. When I look, now the next picture is now he takes over the Philistines. So the Philistines are just west on the Mediterranean Sea. He takes all this green area where the Philistines area is. So here we go. Step one, he overtakes it. And now how about you? But like, let's just stop there. Isn't that enough? I mean, look at me. I've expanded the kingdom. Check the box. Let's just enjoy life. David understood that there's more than God has for your life. So he grew it from there to Philistine. Then 2 Samuel 8:2, it said David also defeated the Moabites. So now we go to the Moabites. Next picture, he takes over this little southeastern part, this other green area called the Moabites. I don't know about you, but man, the kingdom has grown. Shouldn't he just sit on the throne? I made a rhyme, by the way, right? So should he just sit on the throne, enjoy life? It's perfect. Why would I need to go any further than that? I've conquered the Moabites, but I'm going to tell you why this is all so important in just a few moments. Look at verse 6. He put garrisons. Garrisons are like these fortresses in the Aramean kingdom of Damascus. And the Arameans became subject to him and brought tribute. And the Lord gave David victory wherever he went. I want you to see this. So then he goes after, next picture. This is where the Arameans are. So far north, huge territory. He takes all that over as well, right? He takes over this. He almost doubled the kingdom by just that one victory. Listen, why go any further? Like, isn't that enough? He's conquered it all. Look what he says, goes on in verse 11. All the nations he had subdued, Edom and Moab, the Ammonites and the Philistines and the Amalek, right? Check this out. So he takes over this other kingdom, right? The Ammonites. So now he's going straight east and he's taken over more territory. I mean, I don't know about you, but that green is looking pretty huge. Again, why wouldn't David just say, hey, listen, we've done it. We've conquered. I've done so many things. Why do more? Verse 13. And David became famous after he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became subject to David. And look what this phrase is said again. It's the same phrase for your life. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. Amen. Let me show you this last picture. So then he takes over the just straight south, the Edomites. Look how the kingdom has grown. It's amazing. So look, just to give you a perspective, it went from this right there. That's how it all started to this. All because David says, I think God has more for us. I think God has more for my life. So he doubled the kingdom. Why did this happen? I want you to see the next verse, and it is significant for your life. Verse 15, David reigned over all of Israel, doing what was just and right for all of his people. All of this, all this expansion became Israel. And he did what was right and just. Maybe, just maybe, what God had the intention from the very beginning was that this entire kingdom was going to be David's. This was the intention of God all along. Like, he gave him this small piece, right, and said, okay, I'm going to give you this small piece, but are you willing to fight for the rest of it? You willing to put in the effort for the rest of it? There are things that God wants to do in your life that will only be accomplished when you get some grit. When you get some grit to say, I'm going to fight for those things. Like when we get the tenacity to say, I'm going to believe God for big things, even though I haven't seen them yet. I don't know if David saw all these things yet. I think he saw one kingdom and said, wait, God can do more. Let's go for the next kingdom. Wait a minute. I think God can do more. I think God can do more. It's about tenacity to say it's worth fighting for. Let me challenge you with this simply on the screen if you're taking notes. How about I encourage you, don't settle for anything less than God's best for your life. Why would you settle for anything less than God's best for your life? I find way too many people who settle. They settle for subpar relationships, subpar faith, like a partial purpose, a subpar purpose, a subpar faith, a partial faith. We settle for areas of our mind and our health, and I think we can believe God yet again that God can do great things. Yet again. But they're only accomplished when you fight for it. Now, and I know we hear fighting all the time. Well, isn't Jesus talk about turning the other cheek? I mean, fighting is not. I want to tell you something. Fighting is very biblical. Like, don't all start fighting with each other right now. That's not good. But fighting is very biblical. Look what Jude tells us. He writes it this way. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, like he wanted to give him some really good news, Jude did. But he says this, I felt otherwise compelled to write and urge you to do what? To contend for your faith. What does contend mean? You know what it means? To fight. To contend for your faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Man, I think Jude's writing there like, I would love to tell you, hey, just enjoy life. I'd love to tell you, you know, to write about all the good things and just give you some flowery stuff. But instead, I felt compelled to tell you, you need to contend for your faith. I'm not Jude today, but I am your pastor. And I want to challenge you. You need to contend for your faith. You need to fight for it. There's a faith that you and I have got to fight for. By the way, how many know the world is working overtime to fight against your faith? To fight against it. And it's about time the church rises up and says, no, we aren't going to give up any more territory. It's about time the church rises up and says, you know what? We're not going to let you take any more territory for us. We are going to fight for the faith that God has given us. Paul, at the end of his life, he makes this beautiful statement as he's sitting in prison, y'all. He's sitting in prison. And at the conclusion of his life, he writes these beautiful words in 2 Timothy 4, where he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And how many of you know, he talks about good fights. How many know there are some dumb fights out there as well? There really are. But Paul fought the good fight. And there are things that you're going to have to fight for. Things that you and I, are as believers, we're going to have to pursue, especially if we want to succeed at this thing called faith and following Jesus. I wrote it down this way. I believe this. How many know? Passivity is the enemy to your purpose. Passivity is the enemy to your purpose. There are great things that God wants to do in your life. But if you get passive and you settle, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on the great calling that God has for you. You're going to miss out on the great influence that he has for your life, the great impact that God wants to do through your life. If we just get happy with settling and being passive. And my desire is that you and I would get some faith today to believe that God's not done with your life. He's not done with your life. That God's not done with me. And I just believe this, that if there is still breath in your lungs, there's still purpose ahead of you. Right? If you got a pulse, God's still got a plan. Right? Just believe that. And so I'm just saying to you with all love and respect, get your head up today. The greatest things is still in front of you, church. Get your head up. Don't live. Why do we live so defeated, passive lives? Get your head up. Get some boldness. So David gets into the kingdom and he doesn't settle. He doesn't walk in passivity. Like he starts progressing on all those neighboring nations around him. And I'm going to show you real quickly this morning why. Because I think there are three things I want to show you that you and I need to fight for today based on the life of David and based on what he did here. So the simple is it's worth fighting for. Let me give you the first thing that's worth fighting for today. It's worth to fight for your faith. It's worth to fight for its faith. Now, let me explain this to you very carefully. It doesn't mean you fight to get saved. It doesn't mean you fight to give your life to Jesus. We understand that salvation is but a gift of God. because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross for us. But here I'm talking post-salvation. That once you've committed your life to Jesus, there is a fight that you go that you have to go under in your mind. When you give your life to Jesus and you commit to follow him, there is going to be a war of the enemy against your mind, against your thought, against your action, against your life. And we've got to continue to believe that God can do great things for my life, and we war for that. Like, I'm going to show you, like, in this passage, why is David's first fight, as when he becomes king, do you notice that his first fight is with the Philistines? There's a reason for that. If you remember the Philistines, they were the one that he'd already attacked as a teenager. If you remember the story, right? The famous Philistine, right? At the time of the giant named Goliath, right? You don't even have to be raised in church to know who Goliath is, right? That's his first fight. But how many know the Philistines are not a new fight? They go back decades and decades and decades. The Israels are fighting the Philistines. Remember a guy named Samson? He's fighting the Philistines. The Philistines were a constant enemy of Israel. And what's mind-blowing to me is David gets into this place and he says, listen, we've been fighting these people for decades, and it's if not for centuries, we've been fighting these same people. What he could have done is David could have settled. He could have just said, well, we've been fighting these guys for decades. We've been fighting these guys for centuries, and we're just going to always have to deal with these people. They're always going to be our enemies. But instead, David says, you know what? We're going to attack them. We're going to subdue them. And we're going to take the land. Could you imagine the battle that David had to face? You know what the battle he would have had to face is to convince everybody else that this was the right plan. Like, hey, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go attack the Philistines. These people know who the Philistines are. And you know what they probably responded with? David, we've done that before. They probably responded with, hey, we've tried that before. It didn't work. And here's what we have to understand, what Paul again describes in Timothy, where he says, you know, he described it as fighting the good fight of faith. Because the fight of faith is to believe God, even when it doesn't match up with what God has said. Even when it doesn't match up, it's fighting the good fight to believe him, even when what you're seeing in your life doesn't seem to match up with what God says. I mean, you look around you and you're like, what I'm experiencing right now is different from what God has said. I mean, God has told me, but what I'm seeing is a little different. I've read it in his word. I've checked it out. But what I'm experiencing personally right now doesn't match up. And fighting the good fight says, I'm going to believe God over my circumstances. I'm going to believe God over what I'm currently experiencing right now. I'm going to believe God over what I see. I'm going to believe God is good despite of my circumstances not being good. Write it down this week if you're taking note. It takes faith to believe God can change things even when my past says otherwise. It takes faith. The relationship can be restored. Fight for it, church. Like you say, well, I've tried to get involved in church. I've tried that before. It didn't work for me. You know what? It's a new season. Fight again. Some of you are like, well, I've tried giving. I've tried serving. I've tried praying. It's faded in my life. It didn't work for me. And I would just say, you know what? Fight again. Like, would you believe God yet again that he can do something great through your life? Would you believe that God could help you overcome the things that you haven't been able to overcome? Like you said, well, I've always dealt with this. I've always had this problem. Hear me this morning. It's a Philistine in your life. It's a Philistine in your life, and God wants to build your faith to bring you victory and extend your territory. Let me say it this way. Before you win the battle externally around you, you have to win the battle internally in your mind. And you and I today, we have to make a decision to believe God and take him at his word. That even when what you're experiencing right now doesn't line up with what you think it should be, I still make the decision to believe God. And many people are frustrated and have settled in their life because they've gone by their experience instead of what God has said. Your experience is always going to lead you to a dead end. but your trust in the Lord is always going to take you to places that you never could possibly imagine. And what God has said, and I want to give you, God has basically said, look, I want to give you the victory in your life, but you've got to be willing to fight for it. So do you really want to believe God? Do you really want to say, God, I'm going to believe you, I'm going to fight for it, I'm going to go after it. And I want to encourage you. Now, I know some of you have and some of you will walk through some really tough seasons. Some of you are in that now, or you will go through this. I just want to say, fight for your faith yet again. Yeah. To believe God. To believe that he is good, to believe he's active, to believe he is present in your life, and believe that he will turn all things for the good, especially for those who trust him, especially for those who will fight for their faith. Let me give you number two. It's worth fighting for it. Now, David is fighting. He's attacking the Philistines, and he goes to this next group, and it reminds us this second point. It's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for your relationships. I want you to dig in with me for just a moment here because this is vital. The first two armies that David attacks are the Philistines and the Moabites. They are the two that are the closest to Jerusalem. The Philistines are on one side, the Moabites on the other side. They're the closest to him. And if you know anything about church history, these are the two people groups that are continually attacking the people of Israel. Think it not funny that David takes the Philistines and the Moabites out first. Over and over again, we read about the people of Israel having to combat these two groups of people. And David was making a statement here as he's attacking the Moabites. By the way, the Moabites' territory was literally 50 miles away from Jerusalem. It was close. So David's in the midst of building a kingdom. He's in the midst of building a family. He's in the midst of building a marriage. He's in the midst of building a people. And as he's doing this, he realizes this one thing. I'm never going to have victory if I don't fight for these very people that I'm building. I got to fight for them. And I got to defeat the enemies that are going to try to take them out. These people that I love, these God's people that God's entrusted me with. If I don't protect them, if I don't try to take these people out, then I'm not doing my job. I just want to encourage you, God cares deeply about your relationships, deeply. And because of that, because he cares deeply about your relationship, the enemy knows the power of when our relationships are united, when we are united, when our relationships are on mission, when our relationships are making a difference, the enemy is aware of that. And the enemy is going to work overtime to convince you and attack your relationships. Because he knows those things matter most. I want to encourage you, if you take notes, write this down. The most important relationships in life must be fought for. The most important relationships in life must be fought for. By the way, let me add this to you. The church is a relationship, and the church is worth fighting for. Don't slander it. Don't settle in it. Fight for it. Fight for it. We cannot sit back passively and go, well, I hope the marriage works out. We can't just sit back passively and say, well, I hope my kids grow up to serve God. We can't just sit back passively and settle and say, well, I'm going to hope that the church community is healthy. No, church, we fight for those things. We fight for it. Like, if that means you go to counseling for your marriage or for your personal health, you go. Why? Because your marriage or your personal health is worth fighting for. Like, if I'm going to make sure that my kids are in church, why? Because my kids are worth fighting for. If someone is speaking a little gossip in your church circles, you know what we do? We shut it down. Why? Because our church unity is worth fighting for. We don't sit back and let the enemy attack our relationships. We get on the offensive. Because I just say this, in our personal lives, we give up and give in too easy. Can I remind you, one of my favorite quotes of all time, hope is not a strategy. Hope is not a strategy. We fight. We quit too easy. Well, I don't like this, so I quit. Well, they said this, I quit. It's not working for me, so I quit. And hear me, church, with all love and respect, we use bad theology to follow it. It must be God moving me from this relationship or from this community. Wrong. You are moving you, and you forgot to fight. You fight for your relationships. You keep believing God for your relationships, that God is going to use our relationships to do something amazing. Look how Paul writes it in Ephesians 4, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Look at what it says. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. Have you made every effort? Every effort. Have you made every effort to disciple your children? Have you made every effort to protect your marriage? Have you made every effort to promote unity in your church, in your circle, with your friends? Your relationships, you make every effort. It is your fight. You do your part. You do every effort. And I want to encourage you, don't give up on those godly relationships. Maybe someone has hurt you, okay? Can I encourage you? Move on. Fight for the unity in your heart. Well, they did this. Well, they said that. Be the man and woman of God. Forgive, fix, fellowship. Can I say that again? Forgive, fix, fellowship. Let's be people of God and let's fight for it. And you may ask, well, somebody's going to ask you, you know, you're trying to fix a relationship. They're going to go, what's your alternative motive? You ever know that? Everyone always thinks we have an ulterior motive. And you know what you say to them? You just look at them and say, you know what? I understand the most important relationships in life are worth fighting for. You are worth fighting for. So David gets into this territory and he fights for his faith to believe God despite what he's seen. And he fights for those that are closest to him. I just want to encourage us. Let's get some grit. It's one thing. Here, I'll just be honest with you. It's one thing to attack me. I'm used to it. I'm about it. It's another thing to attack my family. Come on, right? How many of you are like that? Like, I remember at one time at a park, my son's like 4. I remember him coming up to me crying. He's like, Dad, that kid over there, he pushed me. I'm like, show me. I'll take him out. And I did. No. But I would, right? We get a little grit in your spirit to believe God for the relationships he has in your life. You do everything you can to keep fighting for it. Like, and I don't know who this is for today, but I just believe this, that somebody has just gotten frustrated and you've given up the fight. Press in and believe yet again in God, that he has something big for your life. Let me give you the last one. It's worth fighting for. Here's the last one. It's worth fighting for your purpose. It's worth fighting for your purpose. Your purpose won't be achieved automatically. We've been told that in life, that, you know, if you just do this, you just do this, you know, it'll just happen to you. That some people are just born this way. They're just born with this gift. I just don't think purpose is achieved automatically. There are things that God has promised your life that are bigger than what you are seeing right now. And my challenge for you is to believe God yet again and to start fighting for whatever it takes for you to start walking in all that God has for you. Like, David's story is so remarkable because he's this little unknown shepherd boy that gets this anointing from God, right? But he doesn't walk into that kingship. He doesn't walk in like, okay, you're anointed king. You're in one day, you're in the palace the next day. We know if I'm reading the story, it takes nearly 2 decades for him to enter into that kingship. And when he does walk into it, he still has to fight to advance the kingdom. His whole story is a story of fighting. And it's not because David is a warmonger. Like, we'd like to think, well, David just doesn't like anybody. You know, he just wants to pick a fight. It's not because of that. It's because he's believing God that God can do amazing things for him. And there's some giants that have to fall for me to get to where God wants me to get. Like, there's some giants David knew that have to fall for me to enjoy and to be a part of the purposes that God has for me. There's some giants that have to fall, some fights that have to fight for me to be the person to live up to the anointing and the calling that God has placed on my life. And it started with him with a lion. It started with the bear. It started with that giant Goliath. It started, then it went to Saul. Then it goes to the kingdom. Then it goes to a Philistines. Then it goes to a Moabites. Then it goes to Edomites. Then it goes to Pessimites and all the mites, right? There are moments where God's going to anoint your life to do something great, and you're going to know it. Like, God's on me. He wants me to do something. And it's at that moment you can sit back and say, okay, God, I know you want to do something in my life. Just make it happen. I'm here waiting. Okay, you want me to do something for you, God? Here I am. Make it happen. Like, oh, okay, I've heard this one so many times in church growing. If it's your will. God, if it's your will, make it happen. And I just say, no. God's speaking to you. He's doing something in your life. Now you go fight for it. And you make something happen. Like, that doesn't always pan out to just sit and wait. Like, many times with God, you and I have to put in the effort. And here's the awesome thing. Your effort, your fight, all that you put in, it has nothing to do with you. It's all for the glory of God. It's all for the glory of God. Amen. That kingdom you saw had nothing to do with David. It was all for the glory of God. Amen. Like, and that's what I've learned. It's for the glory of God. Here's what I've learned this morning. You can write this down. But God can do incredible things through a life totally submitted and willing to step out in faith. Yes. Man, he can do so much. There's many of us. You have given your life to Jesus. You're like, I want to follow you. You're here every Sunday. You're all in on this thing. But the problem is we've given our lives to Jesus, but then we sit back in passivity. We say, okay, God, you now figure this out. Okay, God, I decided to follow you. Okay, you just open whatever's next. And God's like, no, this is how this works. You follow me and then you fight. You follow me and you put effort. And you make every effort. You follow me and you do all these things. And as you're doing these things, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to increase your territory. I'm going to do amazing. I'm going to increase your influence. I'm going to bring provision. You know, I'm going to do all these things. And God say, no, for some of you, there's some giants I want you to take down in your life. There's some territory I want you to advance. There's some relationships I want you to build. And God has been really, really, I know this. God has been speaking to some of you in a really clear way. And I just want to encourage you, if you want that voice to become louder and louder and louder in life, don't sit back any longer in passivity. Act on it. There is more for your life. There is something great God wants to do for you. Let's get our faith up again to believe God yet again to do something amazing. Your purpose is worth fighting for. As David expanded the kingdom, he goes way, way up there and expands it up north, as I showed you in that picture, to the Arameans' territory. And this was the furthest that he ever went in any of expansion of the territory. I thought it was really, really interesting when I looked at this. When you looked at this people group that God had, he went way up there into that territory. And he went there not because they were a threat to him. Rarely do we hear Israelite battling these people. Why did he go after them? He didn't go up there. He didn't stretch that far north in the kingdom because they were a threat to him. I think he went up there because he wanted to stretch and believe and see how far could God take us? How far could God move us kingdom? How far could God advance us? How much glory could God be given? And I thought about that. What about our lives? Like, when was the last time you had the faith to stretch your life? Like, we love the comfort zone. Well, no, those people over, those things over there are attacking me, or those things over there are not attainable to me. But what if you and I just said, you know what, maybe we just give God a try and we stretch our faith a little more. Like, what could God do with your life? What impossible thing could God do use you for if you stretched your faith? How could God use you to build his church if you stretched your faith? What financial blessing have you kept from God? Like you've never honored God with giving and tithing. And I just put that in there because I'm like, you know what? That's probably for many of us in the room, the money part would be the biggest stretch of our faith. To just stretch. Like, how about inviting someone to church? That's a huge stretch of your faith. But I would just say this, if I can encourage you with this, You have no clue what's on the other side of your stretch. Stretching your faith out, you have no clue what's on the other side. What's the other thing that God can give you? There are stories everywhere of people who believed God in faith and God came through for them, who stretched out in faith. Some life was changed because someone says, I'm not going to sit back in passivity. I'm not going to settle, but I'm going to fight for what matters most. There's a phrase that's used constantly throughout this passage, right? And it's important because we get frustrated saying, I've fought before, I've worked hard before, I've done all these things, and yet it hasn't worked for me. And I've believed God before, and it didn't work. And yet we see this phrase throughout this scripture that we read. But it says it again in 2 Samuel 8, verse 14, and it says this, the Lord gave David victory wherever he went. Gave him victory. And that's the same for you. You look at this and you go, was David victorious over all this, or was the Lord victorious? Was it David's fight, or was it the Lord's fight? Was it David that fulfilled his purpose, or God fulfilled his purpose through the life of David? I think we give ourselves too much credit. The fact that you woke up this morning and breathed, God gets the glory. The fact that you made it here safely, God gets the glory. In all things, God gets the glory. It's not you, it's God. God's victorious. Because we have to understand, if you think you're the one who brings the victory in your life, you are fooling yourself. You don't bring the victory. Let me say it this way. You won't win the fight. You won't win the fight by doing it on your own strength. You have to have God. So here's the solution. If you're taking notes, this is good. I call this the fight solution. All right? So it'll be on the screen for you this morning, the fight solution. I'm going to give you a real easy fight solution this morning, right? If you want to walk in victory, here's what you do. The fight solution starts with this. God speaks. God speaks. It always starts with a word from God. What does God say about something in your life? Your lifestyle, your money, your family, your thoughts. Hear me. You can sit here today and say, God's not speaking. He's speaking. Are you listening? The fight equation for you starts with God speaking. You get what God says first, right? We're not led by ourselves. We're led by what God says. And then the fight equation simply goes this way. It's really easy. Then we obey. We obey. Our part is obedience in this whole thing. God tells you to give, you give. God tells you to serve, you serve. God tells you to step out, you step out. God tells you to surrender, you surrender. You do your part, and then it leads us to the good news of the fight equation. When God speaks, we obey, and then guess what happens? God gives us the victory. God gives us the victory. God brings us the victory. He speaks, we obey. God brings us victory in our lives, right? When you are in that blessing, because you've done the fight equation, you fought for your faith, and people say, what did you do? All you got to do is remind them, I didn't do too much. All I did was obey God. God was speaking into my life, and all I did was obey. He brought everything else together. God does the heavy lifting in this whole equation. Did you notice that? All we got to do is obey. God does the heavy lifting. God speaks. God brings the victory. All you got to do is obey. He makes it happen. I remember when my kids were young at Christmas time, when they were much younger, I close with this, I would say, hey, listen, y'all need to go buy some gifts for everybody for Christmas. You got to buy your mom some gifts, your family some gifts, me, right? And they're like, well, Dad, we don't have any money. I'm like, okay, well, here's some money. Let's go to the store. You guys can walk around, pick out the gifts you want to do. And I remember on Christmas Day, right? It's a fun time. We're all open gifts. And my kids were like, we're so excited. We got you a gift, Dad. We got you a gift. We got you a gift, Dad. And I'm like, really? And they're like, it's amazing. I can't wait till you see it. And so they give it to me. like, and they give me the gift. They're like, I got this for you. Dad, I bought this for you. And I'm like, really? I think I paid for this gift. But it still brought me so much joy, church. Even though it was with my money, my gas, my car, my time, my idea. But they responded with doing their part. They responded with doing their part, and they presented it to me. And you know what? Because of that, I got so much joy. And I'm just saying, your Father in heaven, He wants to give you victory. He wants to give you. And our job is simply just to submit our lives to Him. Just to submit to Him. Say, God, it's by your power. God, it's by your strength. God, it's with your money, your time, your effort. It's not for my credit, but it's for your glory. And I want to fight for what you want me to fight for today. I want to fight for what you want me to fight. And your God will come through for you this morning. Would you stand with me this morning as we just close out? Going to show you this video, but I'll, for the lack of time, I won't. But I was really proud this week, proud dad moment in a state track meet right here in Missoula. My son, it runs track, as many of you know that, and he runs five different races. He medaled in all five of his races in the state. The lowest he made was third, right? Friday, he ran a race called the 400-meter race. If you know anything about track, everyone hates the 400-meter race. It's one lap around the track as fast as you can go. It's one lap. And everyone hates it. He hates it. And I'm the one going, no, you're going to run it. I don't care what you say. I'm going to run it. And all year, you know, he's been always there, you know, never winning the 400, always kind of 2-3. And then this year, last in the district divisional, he ran a really good race. He put into like fourth in the state. And we came into this race on Friday, and we're like, you know, I'm just like, you know, Braden, you can do it. You can see it on his face. I want to do it. You know what I mean? And he had to do it, and we made it. You know, you're going to do it. So it's on Friday, and there's kids in front of him. And kids that are like ranked top of the state. There's one kid that's like, everyone knew this kid's going to win. He's the best in the state. And Braden comes out, and he's running. He takes off running, and we're all in there. And I got to be honest, as a dad, I love my kid, but I didn't have a high bar. Like, man, if you just finish fourth, I'll give you a kiss, right? So, and this kid is running and running, and we're all watching, all of our team, we're all there. And all of a sudden, I just see him turning around this 200. I'm like, what? What's going on? And you just see this little kid. And all these kids are like this tall, right? Something in the blood in Montana. There's like this tall, and there's this little kid, and these little legs. And he won. He won the 400. Like, and with a time of a 49.8, like breaking 50 in high school in the 400, like is amazing, right? I don't tell you that. Yeah, I tell you that to Brad, but. But man, as I'm like preparing this message all week, and then that happens on Friday, and I'm like, God, this is in my heart, I'm like, this is what it's like when the smallest undercard comes through and is given the victory. Listen to me, it's your life. You're the undercard, right? The world would say it's stacked against you, right? But it's worth fighting for, church. And you might seem like everything's against you, but hear me, when God is in the equation, the odds are always for you. No matter what seems against you, the odds are for you. And God wants to give each and every one of you the victory in your life, the influence, expand your territory. He wants to give you all these things, and it's all about your perspective this morning. Can we this morning believe yet again for God to do something amazing in your life, in your family, in your relationships, in your church, in your world? Can we yet again believe that God God wants to increase some amazing territories all the way around you. Father, we worship you today. You're worthy of our praise and you're worthy of our honor today. And we pray that in the midst of it, that God's word today is it's time to fight again. It's time to fight again, to not settle, to not be passive, but to say, God, we want you to do amazing things and we're going to be a part of it. We're going to put in the effort. We're going to put in the time that even though the odds seem stacked against us, even though it looks like this race we can't win, Lord, with you with us, even though the odds seem insurmountable, Lord, if we keep going, we keep our heads up and we keep putting in the effort, Lord, in the end of it all, we can say, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. And it's all to the glory of God and his wonderful name. Help us today to put in the effort, to fight, and let you do the victory in our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship him.
I won't bow down to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. And I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Because death is just a doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in the sufferings, then I'll join you at your rise.
Whether you're weary or you're doubtful in this room, would you fight again? Fight for the victory that God has for your life. So, Lord, I just pray this prayer today. God, whether we're weary in this morning, whether we're doubtful in this room this morning, Lord, I pray you give us the courage to fight yet again. Yet again, for all the purposes you have for our life, the faith you have for our lives, the relationships you have for our lives. Lord, let's give us some grit this morning. To not be so easily willing to quit, so willing to sit back and just say, well, God, you bring it to me. But that, Lord, we'd make every effort. God, that we would spend that time in prayer, studying your word, and that time in those godly relationships, Lord, that we are building our faith so that we could be the men and women that you've called us to be, that we can live on a level of influence, and that, Lord, we can increase territory where the enemy has stolen so much. The enemy has just robbed and stolen from your church, from the followers of Christ. Lord, it is time for us to increase territory again. It's time for us to take back territory that's been stolen from us. So I pray that over your people today, whether it's a family member, whether it's them personally, whatever that may be, God, may you strengthen our faith this morning. Give us the ability and the willingness and the grit to fight. Final prayer with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you just need to give Christ your heart today, maybe your faith fight begins right here by saying, God, here's my life. I give it to you. I want to honor you with all of my days. Maybe your fight for faith begins with just accepting faith and saying, I want to commit my life to Jesus and then let the real fight begin. And maybe that starts for you this morning. We're not going to embarrass you. Right where you are today, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, or right where you're sitting, if that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. If you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ, I want to make a new statement in my life. Would you just put your hand up, put it back down again? Just want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, anyone else? I saw hands everywhere. Let's go. One more time. Is that you? Lord, right now I pray in this room. There are people who said, here's my life. I give it to you. I want to give Jesus my faith. I want to give him my heart. I want to follow him in faith. And all you have to do, if that's you and you're sitting in this room, right where you're standing, simple words, just say, God, here's my life. Here's my heart. I commit myself to you. I want to follow you and I want to serve you. Right there where you're sitting, would you just ask the Lord, God, would you forgive me of my sins? Forgive me of my unbelief. And now, Lord, I choose to follow you. Help me to fight. From this day forward, I'll make every effort to fight the good fight and to follow you. So, Lord, right now as we close out, I pray this blessing upon your people. May your face shine upon them. God, may the glory of the Lord go about them, and may we walk in the joy of the Lord that is so good, a joy that many people don't understand, but we do, because God is for us, he walks before us, he walks beside us, and he leads us. So give us joy today. May your protection follow us. For those who need a touch in their life, physically, mentally, emotionally, Lord, you're able to do that, and I pray that over them. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give one big hand clap to the Lord. Before you exit out the door, I have two things I want to say to you. Number one, come back next week at 10. It is our summer kickoff. We do a picnic on the lawn. We're saying, hey, bring something to share. Let's just all share together. It's going old school on you. Bring something to share. Right after service, we'll have a food truck thing here, but we want you to just hang out with us afterwards, a little lunch after that service. Finally, we have a prayer corner. If you need prayer today, you're in a fight and you need someone to fight with you, they want to fight with you. Come find them over here. They want to pray with you. Maybe you gave your heart to the Lord. Come do that. God bless you. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.